Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 45. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Yeah!
Yeah, dude, whoa.
Dude!
It's close.
Oh my god, I thought we were going to have to talk about the NFL draft today.
Me too.
Oh.
I'm calling this podcast episode still alive. The Sharks are still alive.
Wow. Unbelievable, great game. It's always a relief when your team shows up to play 2 out of 5 games.
Yeah, wow.
And they've won them both.
Yeah.
So look what you can do when you decide to play.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Number 45, dude, I got to tell you, Doty Wood.
Oh!
Doty Wood, number 45.
I like it.
Yeah. Miroslav Zalasek, also number 45. Not nearly as cool as Doty Wood.
Don't like that one as much.
Yeah.
Jody Shelley.
Jody Shelley and Doty Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the number of fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Doty Wood. Who would win in a bare knuckle street fight? Doty Wood or Jeff Odgers?
I'm going to go with Doty Wood.
I'm taking Jeff Odgers.
Really?
Yeah. 20?
Okay.
All right.
How are we going to settle it?
I don't know.
we'll give them 20 and see if they fight each other.
Yeah, they might be up for it.
You never know.
I know Jeff Odgers works, I think, for the Atlanta Thrashers organization, but Doty Wood. He might not be very busy.
I'm sure he's listening to this podcast. So, Doty, give us a call.
Doty.
Send us an email.
Questions at Dudes on Hockey.
Yeah, we're here. We're ready. We'd love to have you on the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
After the Sharks coughed up that 2-0 lead, we were finally starting to feel good about ourselves. I had Jack Kevorkian on speed dial, I have to admit. I was feeling pretty low. Yeah. I think everybody was, but somehow they gutted it out.
I mean, 40 good minutes of hockey. Completely undone by 5 bad minutes. Or by 5 good minutes by the Ducks, really.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of both there. But Thornton and Marlowe both came up big.
They did. Your big guys come through in the big game. It was interesting that what I wrote about on the blog before the game and what they showed on the... I hate to call it the Jumbotron, but you know, what do you call it? The
scoreboard.
The scoreboard at the Tank. Was game 5 from last year's playoffs against the Dallas Stars when, you know, Sharks down 3-0 in a series. Looks like they're dead to the world, and they come back and play great, inspired hockey in game 4, game 5, and game 6, the 4 overtime game that we lost. You know, I question, is that Sharks team going to show up? They did. They showed up last night. Yeah. Are they going to show up for game 6?
I don't know. In a way, the Sharks aren't, don't have a lot of pressure, I think, at this point. I mean, they were down 3-1. They're expected to lose this series. They can play fast and loose. I mean, overall, they're expected to be a good team, but in the moment, in the last 2 weeks, you're down 3-1. You're not expected to win that series. So, you know, for me, it doesn't really matter if they win game 5 or game 6. It matters if they win game 7. And I'm not going to, you know, I try to be nice on the boys. But for me, I'm not going to give them any extra credit for winning Game 5 or Game 6. I mean, they got themselves into this hole. They're supposed to win this series, and they don't get extra credit for winning when they shouldn't be winning. They should get credit for winning when they should be winning, and they haven't done that yet. So until they win Game 7, I'm not going to be, you know, really lauding these guys for, you know, way to show up and all this stuff. They should have showed up in Game 1 and 2 so they wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, backed into a corner, the Sharks did show up last night. Good effort, good win, big game from the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, put the question to you is, you know, and you kind of already hit on it a little bit. Who's the pressure on now, really? Who's squeezing their stick on Monday night? Is it the Sharks? I mean, they lose there, they're done. Or is it the Ducks who have that little bit of wonderment, thinking,
doubt.
You know, they're doubting. You know, are they here now? And we're going to have a problem closing this out.
Mm-hmm. I think the Ducks could very well approach Game 6 the way the Sharks approach Game 5. They know that if they lose Game 6 at home, Game 7 at the Tank is going to be a tough one to win. So they're going to really, really want to win Game 6 bad. So that's going to, the first period of the next game on Monday night is really going to be crucial to see, you know, where these teams are at and how they're going to approach it. Because, I mean, the Sharks came out in game five and just immediately grabbed the game by the throat and said, this is us. You know, this is what we're going to do. And McClellan put his top line against Getzlaff. I don't know if either of us thought that was a good idea at the time, but it kind of worked out. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. It looks good. Looks good. The one concern I have is with Nabby. Nabby has given up a soft five-hole goal in every game, it seems.
Yeah, last night he gave up two.
Yeah. So
unscreened, basically.
I don't know if he's not all there physically or what's going on, but it seems like the book is five-hole on Nabby. I mean, after he gave up those goals, they basically shot five-hole every time after that.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
You know Hiller's not going to give it up five-hole. He's barely given up anything.
That's right.
So it is a concern. You know, Nabby made some good saves early. He's been pretty active with his glove. He controlled rebounds pretty well last night. But, you know, the shots from, you know, anywhere from 15 to 40 feet out, five-hole, he's looking extremely vulnerable. So you're still waiting for that one game where Nabokov's going to come up and be all-world,
right,
Vezina trophy candidate type goaltending that the Ducks are getting. We're going to need that game six. Mm-hmm. We're going to need that bad.
Make that save on Owen Nolan and demoralize the team.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
It's got to happen. He's going to have to be the person they can't solve. Is he up for it? We're going to find out, dude. We're going to find out. But I certainly, you know, I'm not counting my chickens here, but I feel, you know, I feel semi-confident going into the game tomorrow night. I certainly don't feel as bad as I did last night, mm-hmm. you know, going into the game. I think we both had a up and down roller coaster of emotions. I think a lot of Sharks fans were experiencing where, you know, I woke up in the morning feeling like, you know, we had a pretty good shot. And as the afternoon crept around, I just started to doubt that we were going to be able to pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
So one game at a time. It's a reset basically now. It's one game. Mm-hmm. You lose, you're out. But, you know, looking at it as 3-2, I doubt the Sharks are doing it. They're just going to play it one game at a time, as lame as that cliche is. But it's true right now. It's true. And there are other teams in this situation. We'll see what happens, dude. I'm hopeful.
Well, the other bright spot besides the top line was the what might have been initially conceived as the fourth line quickly became the third line, and that's Torrey Mitchell, Jonathan Chychu, and who am I forgetting?
JR.
And JR, yes. I mean, that line really looked great. I mean, they really had a lot of scoring chances. Chychu had an open look in the slot that he almost converted on. Hiller made another good save. Mitchell is going 1,000 miles an hour everywhere he goes. He's taking hits. He's making hits. He doesn't appear to be tentative in the slightest bit. There was one part where he looked like he was testing his right leg. I don't know if you saw it, but it was, you know, it was like a commercial break or something, and he was sort of flexing his right leg, and I'm like, uh-oh. But, you know, after that, he was still playing and everything. So, but I mean, that's maybe, you know, in a week, if the Sharks end up winning, could you point to Torrey Mitchell in game three and say maybe that's the turning point in this series?
Sure. I think the great thing about that line is it's such a mismatch against, you can't throw Mike Brown and George Parris out there and be like, here, go deal with JR, Torrey Mitchell, and Chychu. They can't do it.
Right.
I mean, physically, if they want to play against the boards, they can do it, but that's not how that line plays.
Right.
And you know, they're going to beat you with speed. They had a lot of great chances. I think that's another key to game six, that if the Sharks are going to win this game, that line is going to have to produce a goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got to produce a goal in game six for the Sharks to be able to make a difference. That is the line where the Sharks have a clear advantage.
Right.
In that third or fourth line, it kind of gets into the next topic where, you know, we've talked a little bit about how Mike Greer, although he was good in game three, I thought the rest of the series, just like last year in the playoffs, I just don't know where this guy is right now. And I've been a little bit disappointed in the play of Travis Moan from the standpoint that I haven't seen the big hit.
Yeah.
I remember this guy just, and we've seen him do it in the regular season. He could crush people.
Right.
Where is that right now, dude?
I don't know. Both of those guys, that penalty killing role, even strength, they don't seem to really be fulfilling it right now. And the Sharks are addressing that shutdown with speed, with Torrey Mitchell speed, instead of good defensive play by Moan and Greer. And it you have to think ahead and say, you know, what's the future of these guys with the Sharks? Are either of them going to be with the Sharks?
Well, they're both unrestricted in the offseason. You know, Greer's making $1.7 million.
Right.
I think Travis Moan is making almost a million, maybe 0.8, 0.9. Certainly the Sharks, with their cap situation, they're not going to be able to keep them both. Who do you keep? You know, Moan's going to get a raise for sure.
Right.
You know, he's probably a $2 million player. And Greer
probably about
is about the same. So which of these two guys do you keep? I mean, maybe that's the poll question for the week.
That's the poll question. Okay, I'll put that up. I'll put that up. But game six is going to be I'm really sweating it. I mean, I wasn't sweating game five because for some reason I thought the Sharks were going to lose. I thought they had sort of folded the tents, and clearly they've shown a newfound life, a life that a lot of people didn't think that they had.
Now, I haven't seen the replay, but we know that Randy Carlyle was whining like a big fat baby about the fact that, you know, the goal was kicked in by the pad of a Sharks player kicked Jonas Hiller and the goal went in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, have you seen the replay, dude?
I haven't seen it real closely.
Do you think that that is now, he made a big deal out of that as more of a rallying cry for the team? And I love the Sharks just walked right off the ice.
They just left the ice while they were reviewing it. They knew it was going to be a goal.
So if they come down from Toronto and they're like, no, it's a no goal. Like JR's already down at AP Stumps eating a steak. He's like, I can't come. I mean, are you kidding me? I can't come back and play.
He's like, it's medium rare. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, that was a nice little bit of gamesmanship, I think, by the coaching staff just to pull the players off. Yeah, we got this. You know, that's kind of cool. A show of confidence there.
Is that bulletin board material for the Ducks then?
I'm sure they're going to try and get whatever they can get, right? I mean, I'm sure Carlisle's grasping at straws. I mean, they could feel like this series could be slipping away to a certain extent. I mean, the Sharks did dominate that game, and I'm sure the Ducks are going to try and find any piece of, you know, talk or whatever in order to rally the troops, because if they come out and the Sharks play the same way and the Ducks play the same way in game six, and the Sharks are going to win that game too, going away, I think, this time. So it's pretty tricky. Of course, it's his job to try and, you know, get in the heads of the refs. Maybe he'll get the benefit of the call next time, right? That's the other part of it.
No penalties in the third period.
Yeah.
Only six penalties last night in the game.
Mm.
You know, interesting to see how the series kind of changes as it gets deeper along.
Right.
Do you think we can expect to see less penalties than that in game six?
I think so. I mean, maybe just because I'm conditioned to look at it, but you know that usually home teams get penalized less than the away teams. I think the Ducks play a little bit closer to that line of penalties on a regular basis than the Sharks do, although Sharks certainly have been guilty of taking some dumb penalties. So, I think there's going to be even fewer penalties in Game 6, and maybe partially because the refs call less on the home team, and partially because, you know, the power play was completely impotent the first two games, but now appears to be somewhat dangerous again. So, I'm sure the Ducks are going to be thinking twice about doing that.
Yeah, it's a key to the series, and, you know, what was kind of a free-form boxing match in some of the opening games. Now it's going to turn a lot more discipline on both sides. Will the Ducks be able to control themselves though? Like can they? I mean, luckily last night, I mean, they were calling some of these penalties. You know, they called an interference on James Wisniewski, which was just so bush league. I mean, he just basically stopped skating to keep whoever was trying to chase down that
puck.
He put
his arms out like a scarecrow almost, you know?
And then, you know, I mean, you turn around and then he starts like arguing about it.
Right.
Dude, you know what you did. Yeah. Like, just put your head down and go to the box.
Right.
Like, he kept them and we didn't score on the power play. So, you know, that it worked. Worked to their advantage on that one. But there's more interference happening on the Ducks side than certainly on the Sharks side. You know, as we've talked about for a lot, you know, Pronger interferes almost every time.
Yeah, he does. And he's a real smart player in that he knows where that line is. He can sort of feel it out. And in that one game where he took two or three calls, I think he was mad because usually he can calibrate himself to where that line is when they're going to call the interference and when they're not. And he wasn't well calibrated that game. And that's the thing about Pronger. It is so frustrating to watch because he takes steps to the right and the left. He'll give you a shot as you go by and the puck's nowhere near. And he just knows exactly what it is that the refs are going to call and not. So, you know, you hate that, but you appreciate that he knows what he's doing. I mean, he certainly knows what he's doing. And I think part of it is that he's Chris Pronger, and he gets some benefit of the doubt.
Now, dude, while we are questioning whether the Sharks have what it takes to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup, and they certainly took a step in the right direction last night, do the Worcester Sharks have what it takes to win the Calder Cup, dude?
Dude.
They won their first-round playoff series.
They were down 0-2, and they came back. So, you know, that's 1-4 straight.
Yeah, they won last night, I think, 5-2, and they won one of the games 6-0 or something.
Yeah.
Dude.
They're going
Worcester
big.
Worcester Sharks.
Yeah.
Jump on board the Worcester Sharks bandwagon.
That's right.
Here we go. Dan DeSilva and...
Brad Westgarth.
I think it's Brett.
Oh, is it Brett?
This is not... Brad Westgarth plays for the Kings, I think.
Oh.
Dude, I don't know. We're going to have to be more familiar with the Worcester Sharks as they are taking on the Bruins, AHL team, the Providence Bruins, in the second round. So best of luck to them. Logan Couture is playing for them. I don't know if Nick Petrecki has reported yet.
I know he signed. They signed him to a tryout contract. I'm not sure exactly what that means, if they can just throw him in the games or not. But I think that that means that he's willing to split time with Klass at Boston College and maybe help the Worcester Sharks a little bit out here in the playoffs. And maybe they can use him.
Let's make a run to the cup, baby. Yeah. Double cups.
The Calder Cup.
Yeah. Just like the Penguins last year. They almost they went to the cup in both.
That's right.
They went to the Stanley Cup and the Calder Cup.
The Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins or whatever.
That's right.
All right. So let's get to the shootout where we talk about some other NHL things because, you know, playoffs are going on. There's other interesting stories. The first story I want to talk about is the Tortorella Avery thing. Avery gets health, you know, is a healthy scratch for the Rangers. And then Tortorella decides to act like Avery and then almost gets into a fight with a fan. Apparently at one point, you know, after squirting water and throwing a water bottle into the stands, which hit some lady in the head, he then grabbed a hockey stick and was threatening to go into the stands after somebody. So I like how Tortorella sits Avery out and then Tortorella becomes Avery.
It's an interesting thing that you couldn't quite see it from some of the camera angles, but actually after Tortorella turned around with the hockey stick and threatened the fan, he ripped off his mask and it actually was Sean Avery.
I believe
wasn't
that.
In the game, but he was actually coaching the team.
I completely believe that.
No Tortorella today.
That's
as
right.
They play at home against the Capitals. But Sean Avery already has an assist as that game is tied 1-1 as we're recording right now in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that demoralized the Rangers, dude, and just gave the Capitals new life?
It may have. I think Sean Avery, at least in this series, he's a necessary evil. He's taken some really stupid penalties at horrible times, but for some reason, it's worth it to keep him in the lineup. I still think it's worth it to keep him in the lineup. And we saw what happened when he wasn't. I mean, the Rangers got housed. They got
killed.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got to put Avery back in there. You got to do what you can to try and keep him from making those stupid penalties. Maybe it's a coaching thing. You don't put him on the ice in those situations. You know, maybe you think twice about putting him in the game with 5 minutes left. But I think
tough thing is, and if you're a Rangers fan, you look and see what happened yesterday with the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 3-0, and then Daniel Carcillo fights Maxime Talbot.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Pittsburgh scored 5 unanswered goals.
Yeah, yeah.
He basically woke up the other team.
Mm-hmm.
So was Torts afraid that Avery was going to give the Capitals that kind of ammunition? And it seems like by not playing him.
He did. Yeah. Caps didn't have anything to worry about with Avery not there.
Those types of players are dangerous and they can be positives or negatives. We'll see how that series plays out. Definitely dramatic.
Yeah.
Another series that's still going on is the Devils Hurricanes, dude.
Yeah. Devils Hurricanes. That's turning out to be a real good series. Not a lot of goals, but actually the games are really pretty exciting. It's not just a lot of neutral zone trap and turnover and stuff. I mean, there's rushes going both ways, and both henders are coming up huge. Ward and Brodeur are both playing great. So there's a lot of drama and interesting stuff going on. So that's a series I plan on watching. Probably the least interesting series on the outside. If you weren't a hockey fan, you would never think about watching the Devils versus the Carolina Hurricanes. But it's good stuff.
Yeah, been some good back and forth. What do you make of the other Western Conference series that's still going, the Blackhawks Flames?
Well, Kiprusoff got pulled in the last game. Are we going to see the triumphant start of Curtis McIlhenny? I'm not sure.
No.
But, Game 6 is in Calgary. I think Chicago has a good chance to wrap it up right here. I know I'm a little surprised that the series has lasted this long. I picked Chicago to really take it to them, and they did in the last game. I hope they can sort of continue and go after the Flames. I mean, that's what I picked.
But yeah, the home team's won every game in this series, so it's hard to bet against that right now, although it seems like the Flames are have kind of gutted it out this far.
Right.
They're so banged up that, you know, there is definitely a part of me. I'm going to be rooting for the Flames tomorrow night. I definitely want to see them take the 7. That way, because we know the only way that we can get past is if we go to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Calgary can somehow pull it out, and we somehow pull it out. I talked about it at the beginning. Really, the Sharks can make it all the way to go through the Ducks, the Flames, and the Red Wings would be the most satisfying way.
That's right. So, and it still could happen. And having that, you're right, having that series go as long as possible is beneficial to the Sharks. If they win the series, it's better for them to face another team that went 7 as opposed to, you know, the Red Wings who, you know,
played 4 easy ones.
Yeah, basically.
And the Canucks.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be an interesting series in the second round too. So after a long layoff to see those two teams play each other. See
what's been the most disappointing series to you?
Most disappointing series, I got to say Columbus. I thought Columbus was going to get at least one game, maybe two games in that series. And they put up a good fight in game 4, but still, you know, I thought they had more than they did, and I know it's their first playoffs and everything, but unlike St. Louis, they were in the playoff picture pretty early and consistently since at least the beginning of the year, so they knew that they were going to be playing playoff games, and for them not to show up is disappointing.
I'm going to take St. Louis in the Vancouver-St. Louis series. I think we both thought that Boston was going to walk all over Montreal. That sweep I could see coming a mile away.
Yeah.
But the Blues, I thought, had enough moxie to take that game to that series to 6. But
how much is that us underestimating the Canucks?
I guess, you know, I haven't been a Canucks guy all year, and maybe I am severely underestimating the talent and the drive of that team.
And I guess, you know, we're really going to find out for sure the next round.
Sure,
I think, because they're going to be playing a pretty difficult matchup. If the Sharks win, they're going to be playing the Red Wings. So if the Canucks fold up the 10 and go out quick the way the Blue Jackets did, then maybe you'll be right. You'll be vindicated in that. But it could be a tough series. I don't know.
Absolutely.
They're one of the hottest teams after the All-Star break, that's for sure. Well, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. I hope you'll join us again later. I think we'll be recording again after Game 6. We just can't stay away. So many interesting Sharks issues to talk about. So catch us again in a few days. And go Sharks. Hopefully there'll be a Game 7.
Let's bring it home, baby.
Bring it home. See ya.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.